Okay, let's dive into this. We're looking at source material on tangible property regulations today, the PPRs. It's based on a pretty detailed ebook, and our mission really is to cut through the jargon and give you a practical shortcut, especially if you deal with tangible property, like real estate folks.
Exactly. And it's interesting why these became mandatory back in 2014. Before that, deciding between a repair, something you deduct right away, and a capital improvement, well, it was pretty subjective.
A bit messy.
Yeah, very much so. Decades of different rulings, court cases. The TPR is aimed to consolidate all that, make things clearer, hopefully fewer fights with the IRS.
And that clarity, that's where it gets really interesting for you listening. Because getting this right, that means potentially significant tax savings, immediate deductions, but the source is clear. Getting it wrong, that's risky. We're talking denied depreciation, maybe even going back years.
Absolutely. And fixing it. That usually means filing IRS Form 3115, which is not simple. It's a formal accounting method change. So, yeah, understanding this stuff isn't just academic, it's about real money, avoiding headaches.
Okay, so where do we start? What are the core ideas we need to grasp?
First things first, you have to understand the unit of property, the UOP. This is foundational. It defines what specific thing you're evaluating an expense against.
Right, the UOP. Why is that definition so critical? What's tricky about it, say, with a building?
Great question. So a whole building is generally one UOP, but the rules make you look closer. They break the building down into separate building
Redundant
systems.
systems, like what?
Think HVAC, plumbing, electrical systems, escalators, elevators, fire protection alarms, security systems, even the roof. The windows, the structure itself, can be treated separately for certain analyses.
Ah, okay. So if I replace some pipes, I'm looking at the impact on the plumbing system, not necessarily the whole building cost.
Precisely. It gets much more granular.
Yeah.
That's key.
Got it. So define the property, get specific. What comes next? I think the source mentioned safe harbors.
Yes, exactly. The TPRs offer these safe harbors. They're basically simplifying elections, ways to expense certain costs more easily for administrative convenience.
Okay, tell us about those. The source outlines a few, right? There's the de minimis one.
That's a big one, especially for smaller costs. Generally, it lets you expense items on an invoice costing $2,500 or less per item.
Per item.
Per item.
Yeah.
And if you have what's called an applicable financial statement audited financials, basically that limit jumps to $5,000 per item.
Wow. Okay. But you have to elect it each year.
Yes, it's an annual election you have to make with your tax return, and there are specific invoicing rules too.
All right. What else? There was a small taxpayer one.
Right, the small taxpayer safe harbor. This is for businesses with average gross receipts under $10 million. If you qualify, and it's for an eligible building, you can potentially expense repairs, maintenance improvements up to a limit each year.
And that limit is
It's the lesser of $10,000 or 2% of the building's unadjusted basis.
unadjusted basis, meaning like the original purchase price before depreciation.
Essentially, yes. What you originally capitalized for the building itself. And like de minimis, this also requires an annual election.
Okay. And there was one more, routine maintenance.
Yes, the routine maintenance safe harbor. This one's different. No annual election needed. It lets you expense costs for work you reasonably expect to do more than once during the property's class life, or certainly more than once within 10 years for buildings, just to keep it in ordinarily efficient operating condition.
Like regular painting or servicing the HVAC unit.
Exactly. Stuff you plan to do periodically. But, and this is important, it only covers maintenance. It doesn't apply if the work is really a betterment or adapts the property to a new use.
Got it. So maintenance, not improvement.
Correct. So if none of these safe harbors apply, then you move on to the main capitalization rules, the RBI rules.
RDB. Okay, what's that stand for?
RBI stands for Restoration, Adaptation, Betterment, or Improvement. These are the tests to see if an expense must be capitalized.
So you ask yourself, did this cost restore the property? Adapt it to a new use, make it substantially better than before, like using superior materials? Or did it improve it or enlarge it?
Exactly. If the answer is yes to any of those RBI questions, generally you have to capitalize the cost and depreciate it over time instead of expensing it immediately.
Okay. Safe harbors are the quick routes. REB is the detailed test. But the source also mentioned opportunities. It's not all just about compliance now.
Right. The TPRs also created some planning opportunities. One is using Section 481A adjustments. This involves looking back.
Looking back how?
Well, you might have capitalized things under the old rules before 2014 that would qualify as deductible repairs under the current clearer TPRs. Filing that Form 3115 we mentioned might let you claim a catch-up deduction now for those past items.
Interesting. A retroactive benefit, sort of. And what about partial asset dispositions? PADs, that sounded really significant.
It can be, yeah. This applies when you do a renovation or replacement and physically remove a distinct part of a larger asset. Think replacing just one section of a large roof, like the SORF example.
Okay.
A PAD allows you to identify the remaining undepreciated basis, the book value of the old component you removed, and deduct that amount immediately in the year you dispose of it and replace it.
Wait, so if I tear out an old HVAC system and it still had, say, $20,000 of undepreciated cost on my books, I can potentially write off that $20,000 right away.
That's the idea, yes. Instead of just continuing to depreciate that old value that's no longer even there.
That sounds huge.
It can be. But the source stresses it's a use it or lose it type of thing. You generally have to claim the disposition loss in the year the replacement happens. If you miss it, that deduction's often gone for good.
Wow. Okay, so understanding UOPs, knowing the safe harbors, applying a RABI, and then proactively looking for 481 adjustments, and especially these PAs, it's a lot, but clearly critical.
It really is. It's complex, no doubt. That's why getting expert advice or even using specialized software is often recommended. It's about maximizing savings while staying compliant.